This is Ana Ojes Castro Guzan, co-founder of Your Words STL, and you're listening to the Gift of Words podcast mini-series. Your Words STL is a 501c3 nonprofit that uses tutoring, creative writing workshops, and collaborative projects to help amplify the voices of marginalized youth. We are committed to bridging racial, cultural, and socioeconomic divides by honing the ability of people to tell their stories while providing opportunities for the community to listen. This podcast is hosted by Michelle Haberberger, Development Manager of Your Words STL.
Is going to be part of our hashtag Gift of Words Giving Tuesday campaign and lecture series. We're going to be interviewing experts in fields closely tied to the mission and vision of Your Words STL, kind of asking them to give the gift of their words to us as we seek out our support for Giving Tuesday. I am excited to welcome Dr. Bryn Schroeder as our first guest.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here and thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. You were saying that your School of Education at Webster is also getting ready to start a podcast, correct?
Yeah. So it's sort of a baby of an idea right now. We are in the stage of kind of outlining, you know, some of the topics that we want to discuss and, you know, some community agencies that we'd like to collaborate with, some of our amazing alumni that we'd like to have. So there's really no shortage of topics when you're talking under the umbrella of education. So I'm really excited about it.
Sounds like fun. So let's back up a second. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do at Webster University. I also graduated from Webster, so I feel like we're already family.
So I just started at Webster as a community engagement coordinator for the School of Education. I've only been here for about 4 months now. Prior to that, I worked in the mental health field and really loved that. And I was, you know, I've always been drawn to work that allows me to really form meaningful connections with people. And clearly, I like to talk. That's something, Michelle, that you already know about me. And I like to connect with people. So I loved being in the mental health field. And I always kind of felt that I was being pulled towards the education and outreach side of that work. I had wonderful experiences with the clinical work. I've always been such a big picture kind of thinker that, you know, I really saw the need for, you know, the focus, not just on the individual when it comes to mental health, but the, you know, family systems and the community systems and school systems and societal, you know, systems. And so I was really drawn to outreach and education type of stuff. After I earned my master's degree in clinical and community mental health, I then went for a PhD in human development with an emphasis in organization development. So I landed at Webster, and I don't take for granted how lucky I am to have found my dream job in the middle of a pandemic. That is something I'm super grateful for, because just the culture of Webster and the School of Education is really energizing and really exciting. And there's so much room and potential to connect with the greater St. Louis community, and then bigger picture, you know, with our global family of educators and education professionals.
Wow, it definitely sounds like this job is aligned to everything you've done in the past. And I do feel like you've kind of almost answered this question just listening to all of your experience. The whole idea of this podcast is we bring in experts who maybe aren't directly tied to the YWSTL community, but are affiliated with us in some way and kind of speaking into the mission of what YWSTL does. So can you talk a little bit about how we met, so to speak? What connects YWSTL with Webster? What led you to believe that we're a good fit for what you're doing?
We really met, I think, through the School of Education's commitment to community engagement and your words' commitment to that same, that same mm-hmm. objective. I've learned the beauty and the importance of simplicity. So when I'm asked to articulate, well, what kind of community partnerships are you looking for? Well, you have to think about the overlap between what do we have to offer, what's our kind of wheelhouse, and what do we have to give, and then what's important, and how can we connect with other folks on that. So we prioritize community relationships that advocate for empowering youth through education, and your words is a prime example of that. And you all reached out to me because you were looking for volunteer tutors. And so I saved that email in my inbox and I thought, okay, I'm going to share this out and see if we have anyone who's interested in tutoring. And I'm going to come back to this because, having done research on the work that you do, it couldn't be truer to our mission of, empowerment through education. So I came back and I just was like, okay, I'm just going to, send an email and see if you all are willing to have a conversation around what a partnership between the School of Education and your organization might look like. Of course, you were super enthusiastic about that, and that was really exciting for me. And we have talked quite a bit since then about some possibilities for collaboration. And that's the beauty of this role is that, you connect with people and you can, do that important work or support that work yes. that's already going on in ways that you could not do alone.
Well said. Yeah. And, I think that you talk about empowerment through education, and then you're also we can fold in that concept of community engagement, which I know is a big part of what you do. So can you just talk a little bit about what is community engagement and how does it play into your work and then the work you see happening later on with Your Words STL?
Totally. So community engagement is a pretty big umbrella that encompasses a lot of things.
Yeah.
In my role in the School of Education, part of my job is to engage with the community in ways that increase our enrollment and advertise our programs. So in that way, you kind of have to put on your marketing lens a little bit. And you really can't do that kind of work somewhere that you don't believe in, what you're selling to people, right? So we have these programs that I really believe in, our faculty really believe in, and our students and alumni really believe in. So I get to connect with educators in the greater St. Louis area, but also, beyond that, we have a lot of online programs too. And we have people who come from all over the country, all over the world, and kind of connect with them and talk about our programs. But it's also about service to the community. So I see those as, separate objectives under community engagement, related but separate. We build partnerships that allow us to kind of say, okay, we have these resources, we have these faculty, we have so many brilliant faculty members with different areas of expertise and a lot of experience in the field of education. And so, we consider it our duty to then say, what can we give back to our community? And again, to that end of empowerment through education, because that's at the core of what we do and how we train the educators that come through our programs. So really, community outreach is about constantly thinking about what are our priorities and how can we serve that end, but then also how can we serve the community and serve other people. So it's really fun work. And it's, I think, community engagement happens everywhere. So not just yes. for people with that job title, but
right.
You see it all the time. We have tons of local restaurants that, sponsor local sports teams or at schools or, mm-hmm. Engage in fundraisers for kids and things like that. So it happens really everywhere.
Yeah. And you're just kind of the person who happens to be at the helm of it.
Right. Yeah. I lucked out because, not every university or every separate school has that position. So I found it.
I don't think it was just luck, because like when I spoke with you, it was obvious how much passion you had for education, how much passion you had for kids. Like, you are definitely also a Gorlock. Did you graduate from Webster?
I don't know if I checked. But I went.
Well, you're already a Gorlock. I can feel that too. Like, I feel like you're already in the Gorlock. I don't even know what that thing is. Do they have puppies? Are you a Gorlock? What would you call Gorlock offspring? I don't even know.
That's a great question, because the Gorlock is its own thing.
Right.
That I don't totally
Cubs?
Understand.
A Gorlock cub,
yeah,
maybe?
That sounds right.
We'll go with that. Okay. So I feel like you're already a Gorlock cub. And that also then extends into your other background, right? Because when we first talked and we talked about the belief that, you know, creative expression and outlets for emotion can lead to healing, that was something that really resonated with you. So just to kind of switch gears a little bit, do you think you can talk a little bit about that concept of health? It's like your background includes research on how social and emotional factors influence student success. Can you describe the importance of holistic health as it relates to student outcomes?
So that's a really big and exciting topic. And it's something that I was interested in my dissertation research, and that I continue to be interested in, because, you know, I think it's so important when you're an educator, when you're a parent, when really any, you know, position that you hold in a community, it's so important to think about the connection between social and emotional well-being and education and academics.
Yes.
Because you really can't talk about one without the other. So, you know, we don't have just this infinite amount of cognitive energy or attention span. I wish that we did, but we don't as adults, and certainly not as children. So when something is impacting our emotional health, it impacts those things as well. It impacts the ability to pay attention, to store and retain information, all the things that are important to learning. And we know that also, you know, learning is fascinating for a lot of reasons, but one of the things that I love most is that it's not just this thing that happens within, you know, the four walls of my own skull. Like, learning is so often a collective experience. It's this continual dance of throwing around ideas with other people, being exposed to new perspectives, and then coming back and reflecting and making up our own minds about what we think and what our own ideas are. So, you know, that whole process is not just about reading information and reciting it or memorizing it. It's about the way we connect with other people, and the way we're connected to the environment around us. So, you know, when a kid has gone through something traumatic, they've lost a family member or something, they, you know, that doesn't stay in one place. They carry that with them when they go home at the end of the day, when they wake up and come to school, when they go to their doctor's office, you know, when they go to soccer practice or whatever it might be. You know, seeing the whole person and the role of those social and emotional factors is critical. And there's a lot of opportunity there to create meaningful learning when we pay attention to that.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting how I'm thinking about, like, your answer for community engagement and how it ties into this, like how you describe learning as a process, almost like learning is a community. Is that kind of where you're going?
Yeah, definitely. When I was doing my dissertation research, that was something I was really interested in, because, you know, we have all these benchmarks for what promotes academic success when young people transition from high school to college. And we know there are so many important predictors, like, you know, test scores and academic preparedness. But it's, you know, another piece of that picture is, do they feel connected to their campus? Do they find a community that they feel really where they belong? And something else that I'm really interested in is deep learning and perspective taking. And, you know, without exposure to new ideas and to communities and people, you know, we don't encounter challenges to our beliefs the same way. We don't encounter new ideas. We don't engage in sort of that critical thinking to back up our beliefs. And you know, I mean, you can write a paper and you know, do the structure of making a critical argument, but you can't really do that without exposure to new ideas and without community and without, you know, having those experiences. So I think, you know, classes in a college setting or even younger set students up for that, really do them a big favor.
If you wanted to give advice to a parent or even someone who maybe is a college student or is preparing to enter college and they're trying to think about their holistic health in the time of what has been described as two pandemics, right? Mm-hmm. Like we are dealing with COVID-19 as well as the racial violence and the racism that has affected St. Louis, you know, forever and has continued. And now we have a lot of activism and protesting happening around that. So what does it mean to pursue holistic health as it relates to racial inequity as well as the COVID-19 pandemic?
I think, you know, generally speaking, it's always important. And I always think it's important for, you know, parents and young people who are looking into colleges to look at, you know, when you're considering different options, look at do they have a mental health center? Do they provide free counseling? How much information is on their website about that? Do the admissions counselors talk to you about that when you call and talk to them? You know, can they answer those questions? And it's something that I think always needs to be a priority. And I think, of course, the pandemic has just turned everything upside down. So it's definitely especially important now. And to ask those questions about, you know, is counseling still being offered? You know, some campuses, I have a good friend who works at SIUE, and they have been really, really well prepared to do some virtual counseling and things like that. So asking those questions is really important. And also just looking at the campus culture, you do that when you're looking for a school. So look at, you know, when you're looking into student groups and activities, you know, what are they doing during the pandemic? Are they finding ways to stay connected? Even if that is virtual, are you still going to have that sense of community? There's a lot. There's just a lot.
I think another thing that we really resonated is how you can approach healing, right? What does holistic healing look like? And, you know, being Your Words STL, we're obviously all about expressing through your words. So can creative expression facilitate holistic health? And can that then help students as they're trying to work toward academic success?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important. And the great thing about creative expression is it can look all kinds of different ways. So you don't have to be a gifted, you know, painter or, you know, like myself, I'm terrible at drawing, but I think we have talked about this. I started out as an English major and was taking all creative writing courses and all that. So, you know, people find their different strengths under that umbrella of creativity. And that process of exploration itself can be healing because especially for, you know, for adolescents, for young adults, I have so much compassion for what all goes on in such a condensed period of time in terms of identity development. You know, folks, when they're at this stage where, you know, they still need some guidance, but they are thinking for themselves, you know, in an unprecedented way from their earlier childhood, it's a lot to process. And it's oftentimes harder to articulate in just, you know, words or any other way. I mean, when you're thinking about it through writing or, you know, art or photography or whatever that might mean, it's a different form of expression. And it's also a way to self-reflect. And then as you kind of learn what you like to do and how you can express yourself, and you feel that congruence with, you know, what you're doing and what you're creating and how it reflects, you know, who you are and what you're trying to say, you can take pride in that. You know, self-esteem is important for identity formation too. And you learn things about yourself. You can also learn things about other people. If you are in a community where, you're creating things and you see what other people are creating. It's a cool way to connect and have that sense of belonging. So I think it's really important in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, definitely sounds like it. So you've kind of talked about, you know, this idea of holistic health as it relates to services on a college campus and community. Can you say more about the racial equity aspect?
You know, generally speaking, when you think about educating a person, you can't separate that person's academic experience from the context surrounding them. So that's a lot of what we've been talking about. And of course, you know, racial equity plays a big role in that. So that that is something that, you know, isn't just a one-time conversation or a one-time class or something, you know, on those types of issues. It's an ongoing priority when it comes to education communities and for every individual in those communities. One of our faculty members, Dr. Jamika Woody Cooper, recently did a talk for our Webster Speak series. That is a series that's hosted by the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And they have, I mean, they've had some incredible guests, including Dr. Jamika. And she talked about the impact and the relationship between racism and mental health and how trauma can impact mental health, you know, in a lot of different ways, including how it can impact educational experiences. So anyone who wants to check that out or any of the other episodes, they're all just there. They're YouTube videos. If you go to Webster's website and you search like Webster Speaks, the URL is too long for me to memorize. So,
we'll link it. We'll link it.
Awesome. Perfect. She dug really into a lot of the nitty gritty of that and how it can impact mental health. And we know that mental health and academic experiences are so closely tied together. And so, you know, I can tie it back even to my background in mental health too. Like I remember being a student in the, you know, clinical psychology program. And one of our professors said, the worst thing that you can be is an overconfident therapist. And that always, always, always stuck with me. So, you know, confidence is great, but overconfidence means that you don't honor the fact that you haven't walked in this person's shoes and you don't share all the same experiences as they do. And to have that humility as well.
Well, and to be open, I guess, for discovery, right? Totally. To allow the story to open as obviously I don't know anything about this stuff. I'm just guessing based on what I know about qualitative research and interviews, like you have to leave yourself vulnerable enough to let the story progress. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's a beautiful way to put it, I think, because anytime you're encountering someone, no matter how much you know, or no matter how many aspects of their experience you can relate to on a personal level, humans are complex and fascinating. And that's why education is so interesting and psychology is so interesting, you know, and it means that there is always this open door to learning more. And it's such a crucial part of recognizing when there are inequities and knowing that that has a major impact on that whole process of identity development and, you know, having educational experiences that are meaningful and fruitful and feeling seen and heard and supported and having the space and the energy to give to that educational experience. It's truly a priority for, it has to be for anyone, you know, within whatever systems you're in. And it has to be a community priority, you know? So that's something we've actually been working pretty closely with the DEI office, the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion office at Webster. And they're great because they are really, really, you know, DEI isn't just something that happens in their own little, you know, department. It's about, they build these connections and give us guidance at every separate school and every separate department.
Yeah. I mean, they have a huge important job, just like you have a huge important job. There's so much happening over there. One more question for you, if that's okay.
Sure.
What are the, I guess, the most important reasons that young people should find ways to express themselves through words? why is that linked to brain development? Because we know that, right? Like science has said that when young people are heard, it can actually lead to healing in the brain. Why does that happen, and why does that matter?
And it's really, really fascinating.
Yes.
And we know that, and this is something that educators think about too, because we know that, you know, different processes happen when you write something, when you speak something,
yes,
you know, when you're doing different types of creative expression. So it gives you sort of these new ways to explore ideas. And I think, you know, when you write your ideas down, you're sort of confronted with this challenge to articulate something in a way that is, you know, it can be creative and it can be unique and really, but also you're challenged to think critically and think about how are these ideas coming together? How is this coming across? So it develops those critical thinking skills. And it's also, you know, a space to reflect on your own identity and your values and what you're trying to say and what do you find interesting. And that having those conversations with yourself and with other people is a huge part of how young people move forward and how, you know, their ability to build healthy relationships and to be self-reflective and to recognize where their emotional health is and any warning signs that, you know, something's not going right and they need some support. So it's an opportunity for this self-reflection that truly does inform, you know, how we develop and who we become at any age, really. So it's, you know, it's important for anyone, but that's just happening in such a condensed and rapid and, you know, sometimes overwhelming, but really exciting way for adolescents and young adults.
All right, Dr. Schroeder, this has been so interesting and informative. Any last words or comments?
Oh, I don't think so. I think if people want to keep up with the School of Education and, you know, see more about our community partnerships or the rest of what we're doing, we are on basically all social media platforms. Webster School of Education is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on LinkedIn. So if you want to keep up with our professional development, our partnerships, all kinds of news, you can find us there.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much for your time and for giving us the gift of your words.
You are so welcome. I'm glad that you invited me to participate.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Learn more about YWSTL at www.yourwordsstl.org. You can check us out on social media on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Your Words STL. Our intro sounds are by Joey Ferber, and these outro sounds are by Asia Berlin. Ba, 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 ba.